Welcome to Rethink, a podcast on the future of skilled nursing. I'm Jack Silverstein of Skilled Nursing News, and joining me today is Keith Persinger, CEO of Provider Partners Connect Care. In this interview, Keith and I explore the ways in which providers can navigate the evolving skilled nursing payment landscape and capitalize on value-based care. Keith also explains how the Provider Partners Connect Care's High Needs ACO Reach program helps long-term care operators and physicians enhance care, reduce hospitalizations, and share in financial rewards, all without added risk or complexity.
Keith, let's start by hearing a little bit more about you and your background. What led you to focus your career on value-based care in long-term care?
Yes. Hi, Jack. I've spent all of my career in healthcare, and then about a little more than 5 years ago, decided to move out of hospital administrative work into the long-term care industry. And partially was because it was a great opportunity to work with elderly folks, or at least have plans that take care of elderly folks directly to improve their level of care. We know that's a portion of the population that is probably the most vulnerable and sometimes does not have the resources or the care that's required. And I think it's an overlooked portion of the healthcare market. Specifically, the long-term care industry has never had great programs designed to support them in their goal of moving to value-based care. We've always had something for years now called an institutional special needs, which is a Medicare Advantage plan for long-term care folks. But more recently, some of the programs like MSSP and now High Needs Reach are opening up the opportunity for more and more providers and primary care physicians to participate in value-based care in the long-term care community. And the main goal of doing all of this, of course, is to ultimately improve care and reduce the total cost of care. Medicare loves these programs because it's trying to engage all Medicare beneficiaries into either managed care or value-based care. And so we're excited to be part of that solution across the country.
Now, you mentioned High Needs Reach. This is from Provider Partners Connect Care. It's a High Needs ACO Reach program. Tell us a little bit more about this. Why is it so important for long-term care providers and physicians right now?
So Medicare has stated the goal that they want to move, whether it's folks in the community or folks in long-term care, into either managed or value-based care by 2030. So assuming they keep that mandate, nursing homes and assisted living facilities and millions of Medicare beneficiaries in the community are eventually going to have to be part of these programs, which again ultimately shifts the risk for their ultimate cost structure onto the private payer system. And Medicare in part's doing this, I'm sure, to shore up the Medicare program and make sure there's always enough money to keep Medicare going. We look at it more from the perspective of an opportunity to provide services and expertise to improve the level of care for these patients, and by doing so, reducing the total cost of care. And so ultimately, in the long-term care population, providers, both facility-based providers and PCPs, will have to theoretically adopt some program that moves people into value-based care.
So how does the High Needs ACO Reach transform care for residents in long-term care facilities? You've touched on this a little bit, but specifically, tell us more about that, please.
Yeah, so it's a great question, because essentially, think of it as we're now taking risk for the total financial care of these patients with respect to their Medicare spend. And if you're going to reduce the Medicare spend, how do you do so with actual care management resources and systems to be able to provide better care for these patients to lower the cost. So you certainly can get into this and just go at full risk and hope for the best, but that's usually not anything you'd ever do for the long-term care population, where you know these are folks that have high acuity and generally speaking are going to continue in the evolution of their acuity over time. And so for us, we bring to light two really important things that help make our program work well in the High Needs Reach program. And specifically, we use a software that monitors the facility EMR for what we call interventional moments. Those are things that happen frequently with long-term care patients that, if identified and acted upon, could ultimately reduce the higher utilization of care like hospitalizations. There's plenty of other clinical interventions that can also reduce the total cost of care, but the main item is to reduce those unnecessary hospital stays where a long-term care patient is going to the hospital frequently because stuff gets missed in the day-to-day care. And so what we do is we provide that software monitoring and then add to that mix a remote RN care coordinator who's expert in long-term care and expert using the system to be able to then be a partner directly with the building nursing staff as well as the primary care that takes care of that patient. So between that three-stooled care management approach, it makes a huge difference in the level, the timeliness of care that's provided, which again, ultimately improves that care. And that's a differentiating factor for our program.
Very good. You mentioned those two really important things and these differentiations. What are some of the biggest challenges that long-term care facilities and physicians face today that ACO Reach is helping solve?
So a lot of nursing homes will tell you their biggest hurdle is staffing. They've recovered for the most part their census from the pandemic, which is obviously a horrible time in many industries, but certainly long-term care. And that staffing that is associated with taking care of those patients is never quite where facility providers would like it. So as they are establishing very quality levels of staffing, our program brings a supplement of that staffing opportunity by having that remote RN to really help them focus on the high needs patients and to make sure that we're capturing those interventional moments. So let me give you an example. If a known heart failure patient in a long-term care facility has had subtle weight gain documented in the EMR and it goes on for, let's say, 5 days, somebody at the facility might not actually catch that in their day-to-day travels because it's such a small item in the total global scope of taking care of that patient. So in our monitoring, our remote RN would identify that opportunity and then make a phone call, let's say to the director of nursing or to the PCP, suggesting that Mrs. Smith has had this subtle weight gain and may benefit from a diuretic, which is a very inexpensive, one pill treatment to administer, which then could avoid hospitalization later. Meaning if we waited 3 more days, 4 more days, and then suddenly that one of those days is a weekend, the facility may end up calling 911 to send the patient to the hospital because it's a little too late for them to help the patient within the facility or what we call treat in place. So that's the value proposition, is really timely diagnostic care.
That's perfect, because I was going to ask you for an example of how this program has improved patient outcomes, but you beat me to the punch, so that's great. Let me ask you this. Provider Partners Connect Care is one of only 14 high needs ACOs in the country. What makes this program unique among those 14?
So of the 14, it turned out that most that were approved were actually, I'm going to call them specialty primary care groups. They were groups that had always taken care of high needs patients, and oftentimes in the community. So for example, they are home care practices, and the like, that are really taking care of elderly high needs patients in the community before they ever need to go into assisted living or a nursing home. And they were doing this so well that when they learned about this program, I believe they felt, well, this is an opportunity for us to actually share in the savings we create by managing these people. We learned of the program and realized this could be an alternative to the ISNP Medicare Advantage plan, not to replace it, but to supplement it. And more so that we could be able to offer the program almost anywhere in the country very timely. And so what makes us different is that we understand that facilities generally have PCP relationships for a reason. So unlike some of our competitors in those 14 that have crafted models to specifically work in long-term care, we're not interested in replacing their PCP. We want to partner with their PCP and their DON to provide our care management model. And so I like to say we're agnostic to the PCP relationship. And plus the technology monitoring with the remote RN is also obviously a big differentiator. Not to say that any of those 14 are not high quality providers, but they're all doing something just a little bit different.
Let's broaden out even further to other value-based care models, such as ISNPs or traditional ACOs. How does your approach differ from those models?
Specifically for the REACH program, it's a high needs REACH program, meaning contrast that with what also exists is called a standard REACH program. So think of the standard REACH program as being designed for any Medicare beneficiary in the community. Anybody would be eligible to join that. High needs by design is what the name says. Patients that have high needs, meaning their acuity score is such that they have enough diagnosis codes, comorbidities that allow them to be high needs eligible. And having a program just for those patients allows folks like us to manage just those patients in a way that allows us to have fair rules around the program, to be able to figure out what interventions can help reduce the total cost of care. And in the marketplace, besides standard REACH and high needs REACH, there are also very long-standing programs that Medicare created along the way prior to REACH called MSSP or Medicare Shared Savings Programs. And some of those are excellent as well. And some of those are used in the long-term care community setting and done quite well. And I think we think the differentiator with high needs REACH is such that while not every single long-term care patient may be eligible based on their risk score to be included or aligned in the program, we do believe that this program is the best to use to really help care for these patients. But I will admit MSSP in long-term care and high needs REACH in long-term care are certainly similar programs and certainly designed around trying to help the same patient. And then finally, you mentioned ISNP. So ISNP is a Medicare Advantage plan designed specifically for long-term care residents of nursing homes. And that program is also very valuable. It's been around for well more than 10 years. And that is a terrific program for certain facility providers that have really dove full levels into value-based care. Obviously, you think of value-based care as tier one for moving into non-fee-for-service, per visit payments to value-based care. And then the highest level would be the Medicare Advantage product or ISNP for this population. So they're really, it's really terrific for the long-term care industry to have these various choices.
Yeah, that sounds right on. Let's talk about partnerships and how that factors in. From your perspective, or from the provider partner perspective, what does a true partnership look like, and how do you work alongside facilities and physicians?
So this becomes extremely important, because think about what we're trying to do. We're, on one hand, we're trying to monitor data from a facility EMR, but then what does that remote need, that remote RN that's assigned to that monitoring need? They need partners to collaborate and communicate with to be able to make that data actionable. Not every alert or item that they discover through that monitoring is something that will be acted upon, but most are. And so they're going to be making phone calls to outreach to directors of nursing or key nursing staff assigned to helping manage these high needs patients, as well as a PCP. So in our program, we've created a two-prong approach, basically requiring an agreement with a facility for the care and care coordination of their nursing staff. And then additionally, the program is designed around the PCP and requires the PCP to be contracted within the REACH program for patient alignment and care coordination. So we think, again, putting that three-legged stool together produces the best outcome. And it, as anything, these are folks that get to know each other, trust each other, and respect and look to each other as an additional, quote, tool in their tool chest. And that collaboration becomes critical.
Would you say that is lines up with how the ideal partner benefits from this model?
Absolutely. When we first talked to facilities and or PCPs, or in most cases both, we spent a lot of time articulating how the program can be successful and the ingredients of what makes the program successful to improve care and then ultimately reduce the cost of care. We want to make sure that not only ourselves, but our partners go into this eyes wide open to this new world of value-based care that many might be addressing for the first time. And we think that transparency is critically important.
So then, to sum that up, who do you is the ideal partner for Provider Partners Connect Care? What would be their shared traits?
It's really a facility-based long-term care provider, along with their PCP. Sometimes we know the PCP groups first and get introduced to the facility buildings second. Sometimes we know the facility operators first and they introduce us to their PCPs. And then collectively amongst the three of us, we work through the details to be able to get the program started and then enroll, or at least in this scenario, align beneficiaries to be active in the program and then start to manage them.
Got it. So with that said, what can a new facility or physician expect when they join the High Needs ACO REACH program?
So in some ways, folks will say, well, this is the same thing I'm doing today. The director of nursing's taking care of these long-term care patients, the PCPs, seeing them perhaps one into one and a half or two times a month. And so what's different? What's different is adding the additional resource of the remote monitoring and that partnership with the remote RN. And what changes with this program is when they're aligned in the program, the actual high needs REACH contractor, in this case, Provider Partners Connect Care, gets very, very rich data from CMS on all the claims and activity of each patient. So we're able to take that data and through some analytics, we're able to provide very useful and actionable monthly reports, both to the PCP and to the facility, for what I'm going to call constant performance improvement, the ability to act on those things that we're seeing to either avoid in the future or address how we're offering care and the timeliness of care, and also make sure that we are paying attention to all the details that could make a difference in managing the patient well. And that is something you would not otherwise get if you didn't have a high needs reach partner with that robust reporting. This is far more than just signing up for a program. This becomes very interactive.
And I assume that when you say paying attention to those details, that also means that you're supporting partners and their transition to value-based care without adding to their administrative burden.
Exactly. If we were to go to somebody and explain that we're going to do this program and there's all these new lists of things that you need to do, whether it's the PCP or the nursing leader, we would not get very far. These are already very taxed folks that are doing an incredible job taking care of patients today that are looking for an opportunity to even improve that, which was what we're trying to bring to the table. And so in each of our relationships, we assign a dedicated, we call them relationship managers, but basically think of it as their new key resource to review the reports, explain things, look for the opportunities, and help them improve their program without adding any administrative burdens. And more importantly, looking for ways to constantly improve the care that's provided.
Perfect. So as we wind this down, let's shift gears and talk about the future of value-based care and long-term care. Obviously, CMS is driving that push toward value-based care. As such, what changes should long-term care providers expect in the coming, let's call it, you know, 3-4 years?
So we're at a very interesting time, as you know, with the recent election and the new administration. To the world of healthcare and how it's being approached. On one hand, the administration is very friendly to reduce regulatory burden in all industries, or at least that appears to be their goal. But specifically within healthcare, when you're thinking about programs like High Needs Reach, which currently are what's called CMMI demonstration projects, they have a limited time frame, and usually, once it's demonstrated that they work, CMMI will extend them or work with to make them permanent, which can be done in a series of ways. And so for now, we think there's very good news on the horizon with the continuation of these value-based care programs, mostly because A, it improves the care to these patients, but in addition to that, it's actually saving the government money, which is clearly one of their important goals of having these programs. So in the case of the first really official year of the High Needs Reach program, which was calendar year 2023, the government, through all of their reach patients, CMS has put out a publication of significant millions and millions of dollars of savings. And they did not directly necessarily differentiate between standard reach and high needs, but it clearly is working. And so we believe those tailwinds will help propel this program to either be made permanent or be extended for a longer period of time that will allow more folks to enter this world and offer these services, which ultimately then will cover the remaining other half of the Medicare beneficiaries in the country that are currently still considered fee for service.
Got it. How often do you still come in contact with or speak with operators or physicians who are hesitant about making the shift to value-based care? Do you hear a lot of that hesitancy even here and now in 2025?
Sure, it happens all the time because it's change. None of us are overly comfortable with change and learning something different. But a program like the Reach Value-Based Care is really incrementally small amount of change. Same idea of taking care of these patients better. So again, some of the most frail and elderly populations we have to take care of. And a lot of times people want to start small. So they want to trial a building with a PCP and see how well it does. And that's perfectly fine. And some will go all in because they really want to get the full benefits of the program. But over time, the adoption of these programs becomes more and more acceptable And it seems like less time is being spent on why value-based care and more so how does our program work and how will it work within my buildings or within my PCPs. And that's very positive because you can tell the shift. There's definitely a changing headwind with respect to people's adoption of value-based care.
For those parties who are still in that why phase, what advice do you have for them?
It's really important that both the long-term care PCP providers as well as the facilities take the time to talk to someone that can offer these value-based care services. So what I always say is talk to us, learn more, get your questions answered. We're a very transparent organization with the net goal at the end of the day of helping them improve their results, both clinically and financially. And we think that after they have that conversation, learn more about it, even we perhaps do some financial modeling and some other demonstrations, we could do a demo of the software monitoring and the interaction of the remote RN. All of those things together usually gives them a very, very high comfort level to move forward with the program.
Perfect. And for those who are moving forward or are going to be, what do you see as the future of the program and how will it continue to evolve?
So think about it today in the world of long-term care patients. The best data we have from CMS would tell you that about 15% of the total long-term care population is either in a value-based care or managed care program. If that's even partially true, there's more than 80% of these patients that haven't entered this world yet. And that's a huge opportunity to spread these programs across that other 80% and really improve the total cost of care. That's way more patients and partnerships than we could ever administer on our own. So this is a pretty wide open market where there'll be lots of opportunity for folks that have created ingenious ways to really help take care of the long-term care population and partner with the nursing homes to be able to take advantage of all of the program's positive traits. And over time, I just think that there'll be more and more adoption of all of these programs because the value proposition will be there.
Keith, this has been great. We really appreciate your time. The final question, if you had to really drill down and hope that long-term care providers and physicians took away really one thing, one concept, one piece of advice, what have you, from this conversation, what would it be?
I would say, think about it this way. Take what you do today and let us help you make that better. We can enhance what you're doing today with some limited non-interfering tools that really improve the care delivery and become a very supplemental support to your practice and your facilities.
Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Jack. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
That was Keith Persinger, CEO of Provider Partners Connect Care, on the Rethink podcast from Skilled Nursing News. To hear more episodes, visit skillednursingnews.com/podcast.